Welcome to the Moose Room. Dr. Brad Hines here. Just wanting to give you a little extra special episode on some H5N1 or high path AI that's been happening in the U.S. and in the dairy industry. And I thought it'd be a great time to give you an update about what's happening if you haven't heard some of the things. So really recently, the USDA announced at the end of October that there was a first reported case of H5N1 in a pig in Oregon, in a backyard farm. So this is the first case that's been found in the U.S. in a pig. So the pig was found in a backyard farm that included a mix of poultry and other livestock, and pigs were one of them. This farm had 5 pigs, and only one of them has tested positive with H5N1. Now, did these pigs display any signs of illness? No, not at all. They didn't have any signs of illness. They tested these 5 pigs in this farm sort of out of an abundance for caution because there were other poultry there, and that's how they found it. So really don't know how this pig got infected or if it got something from some infected birds on the premises. They're really not sure how this pig had come up with this infection. But it doesn't seem to have spread to any other pigs. So really, this is obviously a growing concern when it comes to H5N1 spreading to other animals. We call this a spillover effect, where the virus may turn up in one of other species. And it's not new. If we think about even H5N1, there was a alpaca in Idaho that turned up with H5N1 back in May of 2024. So it does happen in other species. But why should we really be concerned about it in pigs from a cattle perspective? Because pigs are really good at picking up influenza viruses. We know that. We get concerned when it gets into a species like swine. So here's a little bit on background on virology about what it sort of means for a virus to jump from one species to the next. The reason it's very difficult for a virus to jump between different types of host is because viruses are different from bacteria or parasites or pathogens that just want to cause us harm. So viruses are much more subtle in their approach. Basically, they take control of cells and reprogram them into sort of virus-making machines. So they reproduce viruses, and this is where the pigs come in. Especially with influenza viruses, and we're talking about influenza A, which the H5N1 belongs to, is very good at crossing between different host species. So this is why it could be concerning in pigs. If 2 influenza viruses get into the same cell at the same time, they assemble a new virus. And so they take basically some of the genes from one of the viruses, one from the other, and make a new novel virus. So they basically, you know, a pig is more like a sort of, if you think about it from a virus factory, they can be infected with both the bird flu and human flu, and a pig could be a potential mixing vessel in which these new influenza viruses could be brought out. So has this happened? No, it has not happened. But it really gives concern about transmission of highly pathogenic avian flu in pigs now. So virologists and federal health officials are really concerned about bird flu, seasonal influenza, being able to mutate and make a new influenza virus that could be more transmissible among humans. It comes down to being vigilant, taking some of the precautions, which we'll talk about towards the end. But really, it shouldn't be a concern. It's something to watch in the future about other animals or if there's more H5N1 detected in swine. So a little bit about overview and of H5N1 in the U.S. right now. You know, in the last 30 days, there's been 160 new confirmed cases in three states, all of those states, California, Utah, and Idaho, with the most cases in California and Utah. So it's actually spreading like a wildfire in California right now. At the end of October 2024, there's been a total of 137 California dairy herds that have tested positive for H5N1 since they initially detected it in August. So in just a two-month time period, California has almost 150 dairy herds that have tested positive. Across the U.S., there's a total of 443 confirmed cases as of November 1st in 15 states. And if you think about it, in the Midwest, Wisconsin has no confirmed cases. South Dakota has had seven with their last case on July 31st. Iowa has had 13. July 9th was their last test. Michigan has 29 cases, and their last case was confirmed September 9th. Minnesota, we have had 9 cases, and our last confirmed case was July 19th. In Colorado, they've had actually 64 cases with their last confirmed case on August 13th. It's infected more than 400 dairy herds, and actually is 36 people have tested positive for this H5N1 flu as a virus. All but one of those people that have been affected have had known contact with infected animals. So it's imperative to practice biosecurity on farms for the safety of your workers. One new interesting thing that also came about this last week was the United States is going to begin bulk milk testing after some push from the industry. So the USDA will soon begin testing raw milk, bulk raw milk across the U.S. for H5N1. And this really comes after livestock and veterinary groups push the USDA to strengthen its surveillance approach and saying that it was really inadequate to contain the virus. Early November, they will begin sampling milk in states where dairy cattle have been contracted H5N1. So already states that have confirmed, they're going to start doing some more testing. So those of us in the Midwest that have had confirmed cases, they'll see some more bulk tank testing to sort of track the spread of this virus. Then after that, they will begin testing in states that do not have any confirmed cases. So they will, you know, implement this across the United States. This rapid spread in California, actually, really contributed to the USDA's decision to do some further surveillance efforts. On October 16th, the U.S. Animal Health Association, they passed a resolution that emphasizes this need for more a more coordinated state and federal surveillance plan. So the requirement of pre-movement testing of lactating cows, they thought was inadequate, and that there needed to be some more testing. So that's where it came to be testing milk tankers or bulk tanks, milk trucks, to really help understand where the virus is and how to better contain that. So there's some increased testing that's going to go on. So APHIS announced that they will collect milk samples to really better assess where it's present, to really find out, you know, where this virus is, and really how to come up with a plan to better accommodate, you know, biosecurity measures, how can we contain this virus, as really lead to state-led efforts to reduce the risk of farm workers. You know, that's probably the number one reason that they're trying to do some of this increased testing, is to help reduce the risk for those farm workers. And really, if you think about this bulk testing approach, it really has worked out well in Colorado. Now, Colorado dairy industry is not large like some of us in the Midwest, but I think it's a good start to help contain the virus. Now, there's also a dairy herd status program. It's a voluntary program that offers dairy producers the option to monitor their herds via weekly bulk milk tank samples. before animals move across state lines without sort of having to test each individual animal. So basically, this is a voluntary program where herds can choose to enroll and agree to weekly testing. So they weekly test their bulk milk sample. There's actually only 64 herds nationwide that are enrolled. In Minnesota here, there's one herd. In the Midwest, there's about 37 herds. So very small numbers of herds that are enrolled in this herd status monitoring program. But if you're interested, producers can enroll by contacting their state veterinarian or the person, animal health official, or your local veterinarian. And last, I think, we all have to think about biosecurity. I think biosecurity is critical to eradicating H5N1 and other viruses on the farm. It helps protect the livestock, but more importantly, it protects the farm workers. Obviously, here are some sort of main biosecurity protocols, and we try to do those at our university farm as well, sort of limit visitors. We only allow people on the farm that really need to be there. There's only, one entrance or exit to the farm, and we keep a record of all farm visits. So if you come on to our dairy, you have to sign in so we know where you are. We know where you last were. Our milk truck driver does it every single day he comes on farm. So we know that, there was a milk truck driver here today. If other people, equipment dealers and such, we all keep a record of who was on our dairy. Another way is to keep, germs away. Use disposable shoe covers for people that are on the farm so they're not spreading, manure from one farm to another. You could use a foot bath where people have to walk through a foot bath before they enter the farm, or they can use a spray disinfectant. And we have that. If you come into the milk house, you should spray and disinfect your boots. You also want to look out for sick animals. Are they coughing or sneezing, or do they have trouble breathing? Is there some discharge from their eyes or their nose? Do they have a lack of appetite? That's one thing that we've heard, a lack of appetite. Milk production goes down. There's sort of severe illness in a lot of animals. It's not just one animal or a couple animals. It tends to affect a lot more. So if you see that in multiple animals, you might have to take action. So if your animals look sick and unwell, take action. Isolate them, talk to your veterinarian, and see what's happening. So really, what's next? Kind of an update that really the USDA recently approved two vaccine field safety trials for vaccine candidates designed to protect dairy cows from H5N1, and it's really exploring other vaccine options for other species. So that's probably good news that there's some vaccine field trials going on, just like we vaccinate our cattle for a lot of things. Maybe in the future, H5N1 might be one. Who knows what the future may hold? But I think, I wanted to provide a little update about some of the things that are going on. What's the status of H5N1 in the U.S.? Be sure to practice biosecurity on your farm. That will be essential to helping control the spread. So with that, thanks for listening.